Yeah, be my name, 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 be ಗಣೇ ತತ್ಪರಾಗಹೇನ ರುದ್ರವಾಚ ತವ ಜಪತಿ ನಗರೇ ತತ್ತತ್ತಮಂಗಲಂ ರುದ್ರ ಉವಾಚ ತವರದ ವರಾಂಗಃ ಆಸ್ತೇ ಸಾಖಿಲಾತೇ ಯಪಿ ಮುನಿವೇರ ಅಶಕ್ತಿರ್ ಆದರೇನಾರ್ಹಣೀಯೇ ಯದಿ ರಚಿತ ಧಿಯಂ ಮಾ ವಿದ್ಯ ಲೋಕಪವಿಧಂ ಜಪತಿ ನಗಣೇ ತತ್ವತ್ಪರಾನುಗ್ರಹೇಣ ರುದ್ರ ಉವಾಚ ತವ ವರದ ವರಾಂಗ ಆಶೇಷಾಖಿಲಾತೆ ಅಪಿ ಮುನಿವೇ ಅಶಕ್ತಿ ಆದರೇನಾರ್ಹಣೀಯೇ ರಚಿತ ಧಿಯಂ ಮಾ ವಿದ್ಯ ಲೋಕೋಪವಿದ್ಧಂ ಜಪತಿ ನ ಗಣೇ ತತ್ವತ್ಪರಾನುಗ್ರಹೇಣ ರುದ್ರ ಉವಾಚ ತವ ವರದ ವರಾಂಗ ಅಪಿ ಮುನಿವೇರ ಅಶಕ್ತಿ ಆದರೇನಾರ್ಹಣೀಯೇ ಯದಿ ರಚಿತ ಧಿಯಂ ಮಾ ವಿದ್ಯ ಲೋಕೋಪವಿದ್ಧಂ ಜಪತಿ ನಗಣೇ ತತ್ವತ್ಪರಾನುಗ್ರಹೇಣ
Rudra Vacha.
Lord Shiva said, Tava.
Your Varada.
O Supreme Benefactor.
Vara Angra.
Precious Lotus Feet.
Ashisha.
By Desire.
Iha. In the material world. Akila Arte. For fulfillment.
Certainly.
Muni B.
By the sages.
Asaktai.
Liberated.
Adarena.
With care.
Arhaniye.
Worshipable.
Yadi.
If.
Rachita Diyam.
Mind fixed.
Ma.
Me.
Avidyaloka.
Ignorant persons.
Apavidyam.
Unpurified activities.
Japati.
Utters.
Ganaye.
Do not value.
Tat it.
Tat para anugrahena.
By compassion like yours.
Translation, Lord Shiva said, My dear Lord, my mind and consciousness are always fixed on your lotus feet, which, as the source of all benediction and fulfillment of all desires, are worshipped by all liberated great sages because your lotus feet are worthy of worship. With my mind fixed on your lotus feet, I am no longer disturbed. I purchase the blasphemy, claiming that my activities are not purified. I do not mind their accusations, and I excuse them out of compassion, just as you exhibit compassion towards all the living entities. Therefore, Lord Shiva expresses here his regret at having been angry and having disturbed the sacrificial activities of Daksha. Daksha had insulted him in many ways, and thus he had become angry and frustrated the entire sacrificial ceremony. Later, when he was pleased, the yoga performance was reinstituted, and therefore he regretted his activities. Now he says that because his mind is fixed on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he is no longer disturbed by the ordinary critics of his way of life. From this statement by Lord Shiva, it is understood that as long as one is on the material platform, one is affected by the three modes of material nature. As soon as one is in Krishna consciousness, however, one is no longer affected by such material activities. One should therefore always be fixed in Krishna consciousness, pursuing the transcendental loving service of the Lord. It is guaranteed that such a devotee will never be affected by the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. This fact is also corroborated in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who is fixed in the transcendental service of the Lord has surpassed all the material qualities and is situated in the status of Brahman realization if one is not afflicted by hankering for material objects. The recommendation of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that one should always be Krishna consciousness and never forget his transcendental relationship with the Lord. This program has to be followed strictly by everyone. From the statement of Lord Shiva, it is understood that he was always in Krishna consciousness, thus he remained free from material affliction. The only remedy, therefore, is to continue Krishna consciousness rigidly in order to get out of the contamination of material modes. Sri Bhrigu said, "My dear Lord, all living entities beginning from the highest, namely Lord Brahma, down to the ordinary ant, are under the influence of the insurmountable spell of illusory energy, and thus they are ignorant of the constitutional position. Everyone believes in the concept of the body, and all are thus submerged in the darkness of illusion. They are actually unable to understand how you live in every living entity as the Supersoul, nor can they understand your absolute position. But you are the eternal friend and protector of all surrendered souls. Therefore, please be kind towards us and forgive all our offenses." Purport: Bhrigu Muni was conscious of the scandalous behavior exhibited by each and every one of them, including Brahma and Lord Shiva, in the sacrificial ceremony of Daksha. By mentioning Brahma, the chief of all living entities within this material world, he wanted to state that everyone, including also Brahma and Lord Shiva, is under the concept of body, not under the spell of material energy, although Vishnu, that is the version of Bhrigu. As long as one is under the concept of the body as self, it is very difficult to understand the super soul or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Conscious that he was not greater than Brahma, Bhrigu included himself in the list of offenders. Ignorant personalities and conditioned souls have no choice but to accept a precarious condition under material nature. The only remedy is to surrender to Vishnu and always pray to be excused. One should depend only on the causeless mercy of the Lord for deliverance and not even slightly on one's own strength. That is the perfect position of a Krishna conscious person. The Lord is everyone's friend, but he's strictly friendly to the surrendered soul. The simple process, therefore, is that a conditioned soul should remain surrendered to the Lord, and the Lord will give him all protection to keep him out of the clutches of material contamination. Lord Shiva said, "My dear Lord, my mind and consciousness are always fixed on your lotus feet, which, as the source of all benediction and fulfillment of all desires, are worshipped by all liberated great sages, because your lotus feet are worthy of worship. With my mind fixed in your lotus feet, I'm no longer disturbed by persons who blaspheme, claiming that my activities are not purifying. I do not mind their accusations, and I excuse them out of compassion, just as you exhibit compassion towards all living entities." Bhrigu said, "My dear Lord, all living entities, beginning from the highest, namely Lord Brahma, down to the ordinary ant, were under the influence of the insurmountable spell of illusory energy, and thus they are ignorant of their constitutional position. Everyone believes in the concept of the body, and all are thus submerged in the darkness of illusion. They are actually unable to understand how you live in every living entity as a Supersoul, nor can they understand your absolute position. But you are the eternal friend and protector of all surrendered souls. Therefore, please be kind towards us and forgive us all our offenses." So these two verses show the position of the jiva in relation to the Lord. So the jiva is in ignorance. And of course, Shiva is not a jiva, but he takes that position in relation to Vishnu, that he is lesser. So the idea is that the jiva is subject to ignorance, and the Supreme Lord isn't. So when Lord Vishnu appears, all the devatas and even Lord Shiva and Brahma
offer the respects to him because he is the superior to everyone else there. So everyone is subject to ignorance in the material world. And Bhrigu and many devatas and all the persons present, they realize the precarious nature of the jiva, and therefore they take shelter of Vishnu. And Shiva states here that he surrenders to the lotus feet of Vishnu. He fixes his mind on the lotus feet of Vishnu. And of course, not only him, but all the sages, all the liberated sages also concentrate their minds upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So in other words, those in the material world and even those beyond the material world worship the Supreme Lord. So he is in all cases the object of worship, even for liberated persons. And so liberated persons don't become God, but they still worship the Supreme Lord. So this is the unique position of God. He is superior in all cases. Now the superiority, of course, we should not think of that superiority in terms of the ability to exploit. If God was an exploiter, then why should we worship him, even if he's supreme? So, the Supreme Lord is supreme at the same time. He is not an exploiter. He is very, very kind to all the jivas. So that's what Lord Shiva says here. He has great mercy to the jivas of this material world and has mercy towards Lord Shiva. So though the Lord is all-powerful and no one is superior to him, nevertheless, he does not use that position for inflicting pain upon the jivas. Rather, he is very compassionate towards the jivas and tries to help them in all cases. The only thing is that different people are qualified for different types of help. So therefore we have some are directly given the mercy of the Lord, that is the devotees. Others do not get the direct mercy, like the demons or whatever. Nevertheless, it is also mercy. And the Lord also shows mercy to the demons. And thus, we see the demons get liberated. That is mercy of the Lord. They don't deserve it, but they get the mercy of the Lord. So the Lord is very merciful to everyone. For the persons in the material world, he is merciful by giving them karma to teach them how to act properly. So in all cases, the Lord is not, he holds no hatred towards the living entities at all. He's very, very compassionate. So though he has all control over everything, at the same time, he exhibits great compassion towards the living entities and acts for their benefit. In this case also we see that in spite of all the irregularities that took place, he doesn't hate anybody. If Shiva destroyed the sacrifice and the sacrifice is part of Dharma, the Lord does not punish Lord Shiva also. Rather, he acts compassionately towards him. At the same time, it was wrong that Daksha should insult Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva is superior. Nevertheless, the Lord also doesn't hate Daksha. He's merciful towards everybody. So though all sorts of problems arose in this sacrifice, the Supreme Lord shows mercy towards all the living entities, but in different ways according to their qualification. So in all cases, the Lord is worthy of worship because he will find the perfect solution to all the problems of people in the material world. As one word, in the conditioned state, everybody has problems, and all the problems are different and very complex in many cases from our point of view. From the Lord's point of view, nothing of this is complex, and he can solve all the problems. So usually with one act, he will solve many problems. This is the wisdom of the Supreme Lord. for instance, the case came up with Krishna that the people wanted Krishna to kill Jarasandha. Yep. Jarasandha had imprisoned all the kings and whatever. Huh? And at the same time, the kings had written a letter to Krishna, said, "You have to save us, we're all, he's locked us in a cave and we're starving to death, etc." And at the same time, the Pandavas sent a message to Krishna and said, "We want to do a Rajasuya sacrifice, and we want you to preside over the sacrifice." So, of course, Krishna is very close to his devotees. So, of course, the kings are also devotees, but he's even closer to the Pandavas. So he should respond to the Pandavas first and do their sacrifice, etc. So, in a sense, there's a little of a bit of a choice. Should he act for the Pandavas, or should he destroy, rescue the kings? What should he do? Through Uddhava, Krishna gives a solution to this. Uddhava suggests that actually, in order for the Rajasuya sacrifice to be held, you have to also conquer all the kings. And the big one who is not conquered is Jarasandha. So somehow he has to be killed. So then he recommends that kill Jarasandha, and then the Rajasuya sacrifice can perform properly. So therefore, Krishna and Arjuna and Bhima dress up like brahmanas, and they go, and Jarasandha and Bhima fights with them and kills Jarasandha. And then after that, they can have the Rajasuya sacrifice. So that act, of course, of killing Jarasandha was also good, because in this way, Krishna could quickly finish up his activity of killing demons. After he killed the demons, then he could fulfill the promise of the Rajavasis of going back to Raja, because he promised that, "I will come back, but I have to kill all the demons." So, therefore, as long as the demons were there, he could not go back. So by killing Jarasandha, who was one of the main demons, and then he could go back. And after that, then he killed Dambavakra, and then he went back to Raja again. So, in this way, by one act, then Krishna satisfies many things. So we have problems in the material world, but and they may look very complex, but the solutions are actually very, ultimately very simple, if one takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. In this case also, if they had taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, they could have prevented this problem from happening, and the conflict would not have happened. In any case, even after it has occurred, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord, and a solution is brought about. So, for all the problems in the material world and all the personal problems, the solution is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and automatically all the problems will be dissolved by that single act. So, though there may be many choices of what to do in a situation, nevertheless, the real choice is simply to surrender to the Supreme Lord, and then problem is solved. So that was the case of Draupadi also. When she was being disrobed, she surrendered to the Lord. And that solved the problem, and it was solved suddenly. So we should not underestimate the value of the Supreme Lord and his solutions to our problems. If we take shelter of him, that he is more intelligent than us, and all solutions can come about.
Fate,
yeah. So that is also the mercy of Krishna. They don't like it, but when they realize that it's also the Lord's mercy in order to teach them, then the karma ceases. When they realize that their karma, their suffering is caused by themselves, then they stop their sinful activities. So they get relief from suffering when they realize that the law of karma is actually mercy. Until then, they will have to suffer, continue suffering birth after birth.
sometimes somebody makes mistakes and then they regret what they see today.
Hmm?
He makes a mistake and he regrets it.
Hmm.
But Shiva just, he's saying one of the normal man, when he makes a mistake, he doesn't want to regret it.
Well, that's the problem. They may blame everybody else. Everyone makes mistakes and they'll blame everyone else for the problems they have. But if we make mistakes, then obviously we get the reaction for that in terms of suffering. And the suffering will continue as long as we don't recognize our own fault. So recognition that we are at fault is a main principle and responsibility. Until we do that, we have to continue to do our bad activities and continue to suffer. So that's the law of karma.
If we surrender to the Lord, then we solve the problem. But how do we define that? When we are faced with a problem, you know, we have some amount of intelligence and we try to use our own means to kind of work it out. But then, I mean, how do we understand this surrendering to God? How exactly does it work in these situations?
Well, we can pray for the intelligence, just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. So we pray to Lord for intelligence to get to the problem so that we can perform our devotional service properly. That's all.
And
you bring some solution eventually. But if we are trying to think of our way of solving the problem, even if the Lord suggests another way, and we want to do it our way, then that won't work because we're not listening to the Supreme Lord. We're listening to our own version. I don't like the Lord's solution. I'd rather do it this way. So that's not going to work either. So we have to be sincere enough to accept the directions of the Supreme Lord.
How
about
the selection
time
of the Lord?
Because we're not having
sincerity with
this. Well, that requires sincerity in the person. From devotees or anyone, but nevertheless, even that can be the shakti of the Supreme Lord acting through other devotees. But one has to be sincere enough to be willing to accept that. Well, the devotee has to discriminate at a certain point. He has to choose who is a demon, who is a devotee, who is an imposter, who is a real devotee. That is the responsibility of the devotee. He has to, at one point, choose between Maya and non-Maya, and he has to have that ability to some degree. Yeah, well, of course we have the external guidance in the form of devotees and gurus and whatever, and then we have the internal guidance in the form of Lord Krishna. So we can't say it is all external, because Krishna says internal also. So there is internal guidance also at all times. So the Lord is also involved. It's by the mercy of Krishna that one gets guru. So he's got giving guidance. So many people saw Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they didn't all have prema. When Krishna comes into the material world, then he exposes himself to all those people there. So it's not all people in prema. As all the people on Kurukshetra didn't have prema. Some were friends, some were enemies, some were neutral, whatever. There were all sorts of people there. They all saw Krishna. So not when Krishna appears, everybody can see him.
So is it by chance they got the opportunity?
Say it's Krishna's mercy.
Bhumat, though Krishna gives us so many resources for us to solve our problems and attain him, still one disadvantage he has made with us is that ego. The ego doesn't permit that.
Well, that's our problem. Krishna appears in the material world and the demons don't appreciate him. Don't blame Krishna. It's the demons' fault. They don't. The Lord cannot force them to surrender if they don't surrender. So the Lord doesn't interfere with the nature of the jiva. Nevertheless, he gives opportunities. So as devotees then, we become more susceptible to the Lord's intentions because we are favorable to the Lord. The more one is favorable, the more one acts under His directions. Yeah, mercy is always necessary.
So Maharaj, when we are doing some emotional service and we find ourselves incapable, as for whatever reason, for example, sometimes there may be some health issues or something. So is it okay to pray to the Lord that, you know, I have these issues and I am not being able to serve the way I would want to?
Well, praying for service is okay. And we just pray for our health without the service, and that's, then it becomes mixed function.
So, but if we pray for health, for service, then is it true?
That's okay.
Sometimes the mistake is committed. After effort of research, the mistake, like what we are seeing now, very drastic. So, out of that, poor brain mistake, I can just say, okay.
Well, that's better if one can do that, but then unfortunately, due to ignorance, people don't do that. It's a problem. People get blinded by the gunas, the mode of passion, mode of ignorance. So when you're in the mode of passion, ignorance, you cannot see. If you're in the mode of goodness, yes, there is some sense of control. But sometimes, in the material world, in spite of the mode of, even if the mode of goodness is prominent, sometimes the mode of passion will become prominent, or the mode of ignorance will also become prominent, because that's the nature of the material world. There's no pure gunas in the material world. So one has to be very careful in those situations. So the best position, as Prabhupada points out here, is to rise above the gunas completely. And one is fixed in bhakti, one is beyond the gunas.
ग्रंथराज श्री श्री श्रीमद भागवतम की जय सुलभ स्वामी महाराज की जय श्री श्री भक्तिराम स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय माय गुरु प्रेमानंद जी